Father, we thank you for session 3 of Abandonment and Rejection booklet. Father, you know that we have this going on in our lives sometimes, and we're able to live victoriously so that we're no longer hindered by feelings of rejection. I thank you for the power that you're giving to us to overcome and to live as you wanted us to live, free from all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, tonight we are going to be talking about the self. Our self, our issues with ourself, self-rejection, self-bitterness, self-condemnation, guilt, shame. This whole rejection, anytime anybody feels rejection, let me just start out with this, and then we're going to get into this. But anytime anybody feels rejection, it's because they don't feel good about themselves. If we truly loved ourselves, if we knew God has not abandoned us, if we really live with that mindset, we'll never feel shame, we'll never feel guilt, we'll never feel rejection, because we know. We know, we know, we know. And nothing can mess with our knowing. And that's when self-rejection comes in, though, is when we don't know this. When we just let things just kind of hit us on the side of the head, and we go, wait a minute, ow, that hurt. And then we get stuck within our spirit, and we don't know how to get rid of it. So hopefully tonight we're going to learn how to get rid of some of this stuff that just keeps yelling at us. All right, before we get started, though, after reading what you did today, or whenever you did, is there anything that stuck out that you kind of wanted to talk about that spoke to you?
Well, the over and over again, the mentioning of rejection, and I was thinking that, you know, it's complex because, you know, we have embedded in that from our childhood, you know, a lot of stuff. And even though I recognize and love God, and I have for a long time, it's easy to forget that He's there.
Yes.
And it's easy to fall into our old behavior patterns.
Yes.
And
exactly.
So when I heard this stuff telling me today, the scripture, not stuff,
right,
the scripture telling me was that, if I just lean more on my faith and endure the word, His word, more, that I will get the strength I need.
You're right. That's what Christianity is all about. Paul even said, I've learned how to trust God. I've learned how to go through trials and tribulations. And so it's all learning, and that's why we need each other, because nobody can do this by themselves.
Right.
You know, the Bible even talks about we got to walk two by two, because one will fall, at least the other one will help pick them up. And that's why we need each other. We can't be an island. And if you fall down, you'll have to get one of those buttons that say, I've fallen and I can't get up, you know. and then the kind of help that comes isn't the kind of help you really need. But so as we're talking about the self-rejection, and like you said, it comes from how we've been raised, how we are experiencing life, what happened when we were growing up. Maybe something happened in a past relationship and that you just felt shame, worthless. Well, I put a note off to it. We're on page 19, if you're following along in your book. But under self-rejection, I put a little note off to the side just now as I was reading through it. And it says, and I wrote this, and I think it's very true, self-rejection stems from thinking you somehow missed it. You missed God. You missed something somebody was, you know, that they said something that you missed it. Or even some expectation of another. You missed it. So yeah. Then we go, ugh. Oh man, why did I do that? Why didn't I remember? Why didn't I help them? Why? And then you fall into self-rejection. And what we need to do at that point when we see, oh, I missed it, just go, hey, God knew. God already knew you were going to miss it. Jesus came to complete where we missed it. So you just have to say, Father, forgive me for missing it. I totally didn't see it. And the self-rejection won't come. But what we do is we do not know to do that, and we just allow it to eat at us and eat at us and eat at us. So here's a clue. If something is eating at you, I can guarantee you you're in self-rejection somewhere.
Yeah.
Self-hatred, condemnation, So we have to do what? Forgive ourselves. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Forgive ourselves for not being perfect, for not thinking we disappointed God, thinking we didn't meet someone else's expectations. See, everything is our thoughts working here. We think about these things, and half of it isn't even true. So we're basing our whole life experience on things that are half truths or not true at all. That's why the Bible says that God be true and every man a liar. If we just look at it and go, you know what, Lord, I am prone to lying. I don't know the truth. I don't see the truth all the time. And what I believe isn't probably true. Okay, this is where I'm at, Lord. He loves it when we say that. Because then he can work with what we think we know. And half the time, we don't know what we're talking about. I was talking to my husband today about that. And I said, you know, I was reading a scripture and I got to the bottom of it and I surmised what it said. And then I just go, well, wait a minute, let me go back again. And when I read it again, it wasn't at all what I thought it said. So we have to always double check our heart. Okay, Lord, is that what I'm hearing? When you communicate, you don't just take the first word for granted. You say, what did you say? Is this what you said? So we need to confirm what we're hearing, whether it's true or not. Now, I'm telling you, that's about communication, I think. I think that's how we are to communicate anyway. They teach that in the business sector. But we've got to know what we're believing. And if we believe that God is mad at us, we're going to have self-rejection. If we believe we missed it, we're going to have self-rejection. So let me stop right now and ask you, is there any time in your life, even today, where you felt self-rejection? Maybe you just thought somebody didn't love you and you just wanted to just, well, maybe I'm not lovable. That's rejecting yourself. So anybody want to share anything that you can think of?
Yeah, I would like to say that when haven't I felt self-rejection?
There you go.
More of that than when have I felt not rejected?
Right.
Because I've spent too much time feeling rejected. Now, I especially like the word that stood out for me when you were just talking was expectation. Because I expect to be self-rejected.
Uh-huh.
That's what I automatically go to.
Okay.
Instead of going to the things you spoke about and saying, okay, Lord, help me here. I don't want to reject myself. I know I should feel good about myself, but I only expect to act one way because this is the way I've done it forever.
Okay, so here's how we get that out of that, because you no longer have to live that way. You can stop. The buck stops here, you might say. And
okay,
it's about really forgiving yourself, because let's say, you know, you feel all this whatever, and it really isn't anything you did per se, but you still got to forgive yourself for feeling that way. You still got to forgive yourself for not trusting God. You got to forgive yourself for, you know, thinking ill about your parents. We've got to forgive ourselves. And here's a big one. We got to forgive ourselves for not being perfect. Okay. We're going to talk about, as we go along, we're going to teach you how to forgive yourself. But we're recognizing some things right now that we've got some work to do here. We got some, our thoughts have got to start changing. So that is where we're at. We're at really identifying, do we have self-rejection? Are we experiencing that? And I think that when we get to that place where you can say, yeah, I've got expectations on myself and I'm mad at myself a lot, you're self-rejecting. Okay, so that's good. Now we go on to judging, because what we're doing is we're judging ourselves. We've got ourselves on the judgment seat. And we're condemning ourselves. You see how the enemy doesn't even have to do anything. He's just sitting on the sidelines with popcorn and watching you beat up yourself. See, we got to get it higher above all this. We got to step on top of all this and recognize that we start to judge. The Bible says not to judge another's walk. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. It says that. And Paul even said that he doesn't judge himself. But we're all in different places, okay? But if you judge someone else, if you go, oh, why did they wear their hair like that? Or, man, I thought they were going to come to church today. That's judging. When you judge others, you're really judging yourself. It says in Romans 2:1, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judges does the same things. So it clearly says that we are inexcusable. If we're judging another, I guarantee you, you're going to fall into self-rejection. That's the manifestation. That's the part that says you condemn yourself. You self-reject is what it's saying. You reject yourself. That's what comes from judging. So let's take a look at this. Now, I'm pretty sure we can all say to some degree we judge. Maybe we even judged today. Tom and I were driving around and we were talking about a neighbor and why did they put that tree there? You know, that's judging. It could be a little thing and it could be a huge thing. But judgment is judgment. And when you do, you're going to start feeling bad. You're going to start feeling bad about yourself. Now, my lights just flickered, okay? So if anything, if you don't hear me anymore, I'm going to grab my other phone and call into the line again because I have a landline that doesn't cut off electricity. So anyway, just wanted to let you know. Romans 7, 18 through 21 says, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, that is what I do. Now, does that sound familiar? I think so. So what we need to do is get over ourselves. We think, when we are in self-rejection, we've got ourselves on our mind. We think of ourselves way too much. All right, so remember last week we talked about staying in Him? So we're going to have to do the same thing. We stay in Him. I like this part where I said, you are falling out of being in Him and start being in the world. It's easy to fall into the world. It's easy to fall into guilt and shame. It's easy to sin. It's easy. It's so easy. Okay, we just fall into it because it's what we've grown into. It's what we've habitually learned. So we're going to habitually learn to reverse that and start to change the way we think and properly the way we think. And I think even from this class, from the beginning, I think we're starting to think a little differently. I hope you are. I know I am, even though I've gone through this several times. I'm still rethinking, wow, I'm still judging myself. You know, it doesn't mean you need to get mad at yourself because you see something. You just go, wow, thank you for showing that to me, Lord. Because now He wants to work with you in that area. See, recognizing is the first step to freedom anyway. The rest God does. Our part is to recognize it. If I can just say, yeah, it's like, Frank, you just said, I feel like every time I walk around, I'm in self-rejection no matter what. You're telling the truth. See, that's what God wants to hear. It might not be a great truth, but it is the truth, and that's what He can work with. And it says to confess your faults one to another so that we can pray for each other and be healed. Be healed from that self-rejection, be healed from disease, be healed whatever it is. And we find that if we don't know about how to recognize this issue in our heart and rejection, we're going to be destroyed because the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. So the very thing that we do to each other, you know what we're doing? We're doing it to God. If I reject myself, I'm rejecting God. If I don't love myself, I'm not loving God. Because the Bible says, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. We can't get away from it, people. We cannot get away from seeing the truth, repenting for the things we see that aren't good, and believing what God says. That's it in a nutshell. Does anybody have anything you want to add up to this point that we've talked about so far? How about rejecting the scriptures? Has anybody ever rejected the scriptures? Can you give an example, maybe, if you can, ever rejecting a scripture? How about not believing the word? He says he loves you, but you know what? Maybe he says he does, but does he really? You see, we're rejecting the scripture. Everything we read in that word, we got to accept. Otherwise, we're rejecting it. It's cut and dry. There's no in between. As a matter of fact, when we reject the word today, we're also impacting our generations to come. Because then it says, if you reject the knowledge that you know, I'm going to also forget your children. And we wonder why there's a big mess in the world today, because our kids are a mess. And maybe we rejected the Lord somewhere. Maybe we stopped believing. See, we're rejecting God. And then when you reject God, he says, I'm going to reject you. He's talking to a believer. He's not talking to an unbeliever here. So we got to start paying attention to what we're thinking, not get all worried. Oh, no, you know, I'm doing a horrible thing. I'm rejecting God and he's not going to forgive me. Oh, yes, he will. You just say, Lord, I didn't realize, but I've been rejecting you. See how easy that is? And then you're set free. But until you acknowledge it and admit to the Lord, he can't do anything with it. So that's huge. I'm just going to read to you a little sidebar that I wrote. It says, we talked about God and how we need to be restored from thinking he abandoned us. You may not say it that way, but do you have prayers unanswered? Do you wonder why you are still struggling with your health or in finances? These are signs of feeling you've been abandoned by God. And remember, this is only a feeling, because the faith is he never leaves us or forsakes us. In other words, he never abandons or rejects us. That's the truth. See, are we rejecting that truth, or are we believing that truth? Can we really be honest with God? If you can't be honest with God and come boldly to his throne like he asks, with your face lifted up, not down on the floor, then you're rejecting yourself. And then, of course, turning around, rejecting God. And there's a big vicious cycle. We got to rise above all of that stuff. Know that you've been grafted in. You've been grafted into this huge tree, which is Jesus. And you've become part of the tree. It can only be cut off if you cut it off. So, and that's very hard to do, because the Lord loves you and he sealed you. But we need to be honest with God, because of our ability to receive from him is going to be when we're truly honest with him about ourselves. Anybody want to add anything there before I move on to the next thought? I'm going to share a story I read in Acts today. It was about Paul, and it really is appropriate for what we're talking about. When Paul was in bondage and he was in the ship, and the ship was in a tempest sea and about ready to be dashed, and their lives were lost, and an angel stood next to Paul and said, fear not, Paul, because you're going to go to Rome. So don't worry about anything that's going on here. Nobody's going to lose their lives. Just do what I tell you to do and everything will be okay. So he stood up and he started to repeat what the angel said to him. Fear not, everybody. No hair on your head will be, you know, messed with. You will be saved if you remain in the ship. People wanted to jump out and swim for shore. He goes, no, you got to stay in the ship. And so here's what the Lord showed me. Paul believed what God said. And though the ship was in a uproar, it even broke to pieces. They had to swim to shore on pieces of the ship, but not one life was lost. They had to go through some stuff. But here's the hugest part. Paul believed he was going to go to Rome. Nothing is going to stop him from going. Matter of fact, he knew in his heart his destiny. God told him. He knew. So he knew that nothing was going to stop him. Then the next thing that happens is They went on shore and started a bonfire. He grabbed some wood and a snake grabbed a hold of his hand, and he shook the snake off into the fire. And everybody's going, ooh, you know, he's going to die. Well, Paul already knew, nothing going to happen to me. I got to get to Rome. You see, what we've got to do in our thoughts is believe what God is telling us. He is not going to take you home until it's time to take you home. He's not going to do anything until you complete the work he's called you to do. And see, this is huge, because if we can live there, we won't feel rejection. If anybody treats us wrong, we'll go, oh, that's just a stepping stone to get to our final destiny. You see, look at everything quite differently when we think this way. Let's think like Paul thinks. Matter of fact, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, believe like I believe. Not follow in his footsteps, basically, but believe like I believe. Believe that God is with you. He has not abandoned you. Whether you go through a storm and you go into a ship and the wind, you know, gets around you, or the snake bites you, or you drink something that isn't good for you, whatever it is, nothing's going to happen to you. If you believe, nothing's going to happen to you, because I'll tell you what. Paul could have gone, oh, no, I just got bit by a snake. Oh, no, I guess I'm not going to Rome after all. No, he knew he was going to Rome, so nothing was going to prevent it. But what we do is we let those little things in our life, oh, they don't love me anymore. I'm not ever going to their house no more, you know? And so we fall into these things instead of shaking it off and heading towards our destiny, heading towards where God wants us to be. And you know what he wants? He wants us to fill our lives up with him, with joy, with friendship, with people. You might not have a big gigantic milestone ahead of you to go to. What he wants for you to is to occupy your days full of him. There's no room for all the self garbage when we're full of him. So we've got to, on purpose, it might take some of you, just this gigantic change of thought to say, my thinking is way off, God. I am not at all right here. But I want what you think. I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I know what the word says. He's going to deliver me and set me free and have me fulfill my purpose. He's got good things in store for me. That's what you dwell on. The minute we start to think about ourselves, people, you're going to fall down a slippery slope. The minute you start thinking about yourself, you're going to fall into self-rejection. Got to get above ourselves. Got to get above ourselves. We got to think outside of ourselves. You know, I don't know how many times people say, you know, if you want to really be happy with yourself, go help someone else. And we've heard that. But do we do it? No, I'm not. I don't do it. I don't do it sometimes, you know. I'm always thinking about how I'm going to feel better and how I'm going to make me feel better and how I'm going to do this for me. I mean, I'm human and I'm going to do that. But I'm also ingraining and putting into me this truth of the power and the presence of God every minute. I was talking to a friend of mine tonight and I said, I am chewing up and sucking in every single minute of the day. I am enjoying what God has given to me. This life is a precious gift that I am going to cherish. And that's where he wants us. I don't have to do some great thing. I don't have to make some big building or have a giant ministry. I just need to occupy my heart with God. And then I'll be able to deal with those areas of shame and hurt and self-rejection, which, by the way, I don't have anymore, because I'm teaching you what I did so that I don't have those anymore. Believe me, I had many, many chances, and I had a feeling rejection. Having been married 4 times, having had multiple relationships, people just, I mean, here's a story. One guy, I was on the back of his motorcycle. He stopped at the stop sign and he says, okay, I'm done now. Get off. It was in the middle of the street. So the guy next to him on his motorcycle said, hey, jump on my bike. So then here I go off with a new guy. I'm serious. I was a nightmare in my life. And I've lived rejection after rejection after rejection, abandonment, 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 homeless, all of it, all right? But God had a destiny for me, and nothing on this earth was going to stop it. And I am telling you the same thing. So let's get above ourselves of feeling the self-rejection. The minute you start to feel self going, wait a minute, I got my mind on myself. Let me put my mind on the Lord. Let me see what he wants me to think right now. You see, it is a act of your will. And after a while, you start to train yourself to think like that. From here on out, no self-rejection will be added. We're going to deal with old self-rejection in a little while, and maybe in that couple of weeks. But right now, you're not going to add any more. Let's stop adding any more rejection. And we do that by taking every thought that we have and weigh it against what God says. And ask him to forgive you if you're rejecting his word, if you're rejecting his love, if you're rejecting his mercy. See, we're going to be in a state of mind, either in faith or in fear, 24 hours a day. You're going to live in hate or love. You're going to be merciful or you're not going to be merciful. So when we see things like this come, what are we going to do? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, and also 2 Corinthians 2:5 through 11, that we are to know the enemy's devices so that we can choose rightly. And one of the devices the enemy uses, of course, is rejection. So, number one, I have a couple, three little points here. Recognize that rejection is a wile of the devil. Okay, first of all, recognize it. Don't go, oh, it's just I feel rejection. Go, wait a minute. Every time I feel rejection, I'm bowing down to the enemy. That'll kick you right out of that. And then repent for saying that you feel rejection. Repent for those thoughts. And then put your mind on what God says. Those are the three easy ways. Recognize it's a while. Repent for having those thoughts and agreeing with it. And then put your mind on what God says about it. This could literally save your life. I just told you the story about Paul. His life was spared when he put his mind on things above, not on things that was happening around him. Hallelujah. I think that's great news. So I have a question. What are you believing God said to you? And are you believing it will happen? Or you're believing it will never happen? Let's be honest. Is there anything in your life that you're waiting on God about, but maybe he's taking a little longer than you think and you're going, oh, it's never going to happen. Is there anything like that in your life right now? Like I said, it's our thinking that messes with us, isn't it? And so temptation starts in our thinking. We're on page 22 at this point. And, this, I think I was talking about how I handled rejection. I had a situation come up and how I handled it. And we have to handle it, people. We have to do something about it. And so when I noticed it in my thinking, I was able to do something about it. And I forgave myself and I forgave what the situation was all about. And I asked the Lord to restore me and have me have a mind of Christ. See, by saying all those things, I'm actually accepting what the Lord is saying. And I'm believing. I'm not rejecting him. See, we're going to always experience abandonment. But like in my story, rejection never has a chance because I forgive and cast the thoughts out that go against God's thoughts immediately. Now, it might be a couple of, you know, minutes or 10 minutes or something. Then it just kind of hit me on the side of the head and I go, wait a minute, what am I thinking? It's very important. So Jesus, look at what happened to Jesus. Was he abandoned and rejected? I don't. All right, go ahead.
He was abandoned and rejected by his disciples.
Yes. Yes, he was. Who else was he abandoned and rejected by? His father. Wasn't Jesus on the cross and he says, why have you forsaken me? Isn't that the same thing as being abandoned? So are we greater than our master? So know that if Jesus was abandoned, be sure we're going to be abandoned. But the cool part is, he was abandoned once and for all by God, so we'll never be abandoned by God. He took that from us. So we can always know that God will never abandon us. Because we think, oh, well, Jesus was abandoned, so I guess God's going to abandon me too. No, he did it so that you will never. That's why he did that on the cross. And Isaiah 43:2 talks about how Jesus endured so much, where he was despised and rejected of men, and a man of many sorrows and acquainted with grief. Gosh, grief comes along, that self-rejection and rejection and abandonment, doesn't it? It's just painful. So what happens is when we feel this rejection, we start to reject. We start to reject other people. We think that they're rejecting us when in fact you're rejecting them. I've seen it over and over and over again. So let me have you take a thought journey with me for a moment. And the minute that you felt rejection from somebody, you might even be able to pinpoint it, maybe even today, it's because you're rejecting them to some degree. Maybe you're rejecting what they're saying. You know, I have a situation right now. I was thinking about it right before I got onto this class. I have a sister. I know they don't listen to my recordings, so I can talk about it. My one of my sisters, I asked the Lord today, I said, I know there's something wrong there, Lord. Why doesn't she like me? Don't we ask that? And I ask that question sometimes to God, why don't they like me? I mean, she's my sister after all. And I said, well, when did she start rejecting me, Lord? When did she start abandoning me? You know, she's just real silent. She doesn't talk to me, and I'll talk to her, but it's just, she responds just what she needs to, nothing added. Just, you know, it's just not there. And within seconds, I said, I am choosing to shake off the dust off of my feet and hands for those who do not want to be my friend, who do not want to be in my life. I cannot make anybody be that way. And I was able to forgive her by shaking off my hands and shaking off the dust of my feet, just like Paul and Barnabas did when they went teaching from city to city, and those that rejected and abandoned them, they just shook the dust off, and it was against that city, and then they moved to the next city and didn't even pay attention to the last city. They didn't bring it and go, oh, that last city, man, you should have seen what they did to us. They didn't, and that's what we do. We carry it around. And that's going to cause more self-rejection, because now you're living in that state of self-rejection. Now you're going to start rejecting people. Then they're going to start rejecting you. Then you're going to wonder why you're being rejected. And it's a huge circle. And like, again, the enemy just sitting on the sidelines with a bag of popcorn watching you beat up yourself. He doesn't have to get involved anywhere. He just starts the ball rolling and then you take off with it. But you've got to stop the ball from rolling. By believing what we're talking about here is to come clean before God and say, Lord, I, you know, my sister doesn't love me. That's the truth. My sister doesn't like me. She doesn't love me. And I give her to you. There's nothing I can do to make her love me. I've talked to her about it. She says there's nothing wrong, but I know, there's something not right. Because we used to have a really close relationship, and I know what close relationships feel like, and that's not what we have today. So, even though she's my blood, I gotta let her go. I have to shake the dust off. And I'll hang out with you guys. You like me. You want to hang out with me? I want to hang out with you. And so, you know, we always look about what we don't have as opposed to what we do. And God wants to change all that. He wants us to not fall into that self-pity, miry stuff that has to do with ourself, because something's not going the way we want it to. And again, it could be a stepping stone God is using to go towards your final destiny and what he wants to do with your life. And sometimes we have to go through a storm, a wrecked ship, you know, all that stuff that Paul went through, and what you're going through today financially with kids, health issues, whatever it is you're going through, they are stepping stones. If we look at it that way, as a stepping stone, it's going to cause us to think a whole lot differently about our situation. See, forgiveness, we're going to talk about this until the cows come home. Forgiveness removes the feelings that come from being abandoned. Just like Jesus did on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, this is hope for us. You can find the peace and the joy even in the midst of being abandoned. Wow, I think that's huge. If you can you know, you're sitting in, let's take a picture here. Let's just use our imagination and imagine yourself sitting in your living room and this cyclone starts to just, and the wind and this hail and the rain and the snow starts ripping off the windows, and you're sitting in your little living room chair just looking at what's going on. But yet you know in your heart, God is with you. Here's the peace that we miss. We think, well, you know, I can just sit here and God's going to protect me. Because with Paul, even though God told him he was going to save him and he was going to make it to Rome, he still had to do something. They had to set sail for an island off their beaten trail in order to be saved. So in our life, he might cause you to get off that chair and stand in a doorway. You see, we got to listen to what God's calling us and telling us to do. Then it brings forth that blessing that we're looking for. Sometimes we got to do something and sometimes we don't. But you know not to just sit there in your chair when the wind is whipping your hair around. You're going to go sit in a bathtub where it's solid and whatever from the wind and, you know, however, wherever God sends you. Where you know that, you know in your heart that you've got to go to take care of yourself and your family. Go to the, I don't know, basement, whatever it is. So there are something that you might have to do. When Paul was bit by that snake, he just didn't let it hang there. He shook it off. He did something, didn't he? So what are we doing? Are we really living by faith? Because faith is believing and doing. Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So that means you got to follow your faith with action. So what are we doing? What are we doing to truly get out of feeling abandoned? What are we really doing when we feel rejection? See, this is your part now. This is huge right now. This is pivotal of this class. What are you going to do with it when you feel rejection? What I'd love you to do is get these little, a piece of paper, draw some circles, and put rejection on each little circle. I can just see that in my spirit, that every time you feel rejection, you take that little piece of whatever and toss it. Just whatever you got to do to recognize that you're getting rid of, you're not letting rejection overtake you. Sometimes God has me do some funny little things like that to get me to do what I need to do. I'm a visual person. I need to really grab a hold of it by visual. And that's what he shows me. Again, there is hope for us when we cast our care upon the Lord. Not your responsibility per se, because there's some things you might have to do. But cast your care. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But what it really says in the King James Version is, be careful for nothing. See, if you're careful for nothing, you won't have anxiety. If you're not full of care, you won't be worried. You're going to believe God. So be full of no care. I remember sometimes we'll say, oh, I just don't care anymore. I can tell you right now, you do. And so I say it this way now, Father, I care, but help me not to, you see, because I'm telling, that's the truth. I care, but help me not let that bother me. I care, but let it not carry me, you see. So we don't want to be underneath all that burden of care. That's telling you that you don't really believe God. Is it making sense tonight? Is it helping anybody?
It's a reminder for me, like we talked about last week, about being in him, the call in tonight, that you want when we are in him and all this and learning what the Bible is teaching us, then all that fear just kind of melts away. And I know it's not quite exactly what you asked, but I guess it was just, you know, in my heart to say that. And
no, that's right up this alley, because, you know, our thoughts betray us, our relationship with ourselves betray us, but when we're in him, we don't experience any of that. We won't feel rejection. We'll feel loved, accepted, and approved of. You'll look in the mirror and say, ooh, you look pretty cool after all. You're talking really about living without rejection, living without self-rejection.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even, you know, with, you know, our relationship, when his self-rejection, I'm like, I kind of ping-pong off it at times. But like today, our day kind of started off kind of rough. And I'm asking him later, I said, well, what were you feeling when you were saying this? Because I don't understand where you were coming from. But so, of course, I'm learning about myself, but I'm also, it's opening my eyes, reading through this stuff and listening to you on how I'm reacting to his self-rejection and not to point the finger at him. But, you know, it has been a challenge in our relationship.
And you know what? He's in the right place because he's actually admitting that that's where he lives.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And he knows.
Yeah,
he
knows. Now, so in other words, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
All right. So now we're moving on to 25. And it talks about Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He applied forgiveness at the cross. During the middle of his abandonment, he forgave. So that's what Jesus did. That's what we're to do. So as you allow yourself to love and forgive those who caused you grief or have abandoned you, I'll say it again, you will not experience the feelings of rejection. This is good news. It took me a long time, though. I'm pretty sure some of you felt, you know, it took a long time. If you've gotten to that place where you're just now understanding what rejection is and that you can actually get free, maybe you are free. It took a long time. It takes a long time to get out of that because we are so on our own mind that it's hard to see anything beyond that. And God wants us to.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that in knowing him, okay, so here's a really cool part. It's Isaiah 54, 10, 14, and 17. I'm kind of adding it all together, so it's not a really long scripture, but I'm going to read it. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord. Has mercy on you, and in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, and you shall not fear, and from terror, and it will not come near you. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. What's really cool about this is our heritage. It's what we can live by. And it is that in knowing him, in knowing him, we're established in righteousness because of Jesus. So if you don't think you're worthy, if you have self, you know, rejection and you're mad against yourself all the time, you're believing a falsehood. Because the truth says you are the righteousness because of Jesus. If you've received Christ as your Savior, there's nobody that can pull you out of it but your own stinking thinking. And even that, you can't do anything because he says, no man can even pluck you out of my hand, including you. You can't even pluck you out of his hand. So let's just get the ball rolling in the right direction. Let's just settle down and accept it for what it is. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Period. End of story. And if we can get that place, we can get to that place and know this, then this establishment, you will also know that God loves you and that you are accepted and that you are well thought of. And that when people reject you and abandon you, they're rejecting and abandoning God, period. We take it all into it like it's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. When really, it's about God. We're vessels. And whatever you're carrying around in you is going to come out. And that's what people see. And if you're splashing God all over the place, I guarantee you, you're going to be rejected. There's, like I said, my family members, particularly one of my sisters, I know it's not all about me. It's because I represent a Father. I represent a holy God. And some of them don't like being around that. So I have to choose to be hanging out with people who have like-mindedness as I do, who love God, who want to serve him, you know, who find joy in reading the Bible as opposed to going out, you know, drinking and carousing. I'm telling you, this is what's happening in the world today. So we have to know that we're going to feel abandonment and rejection from people because of who's in us. You are established right now. Every one of you are established in righteousness because of Jesus. If you have any fear that you're not in perfectness, that you're not, I mean, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm saying in perfectness, which is in Him who is perfect. You need to know that you're in perfectness. Say it again. You need to know that you are in perfectness because it's all about loving and forgiving. And when we can do that, we are in perfect. Matter of fact, the Bible says that a person who is perfect knows how to forgive one another. That's a perfect person. Doesn't mean they do everything right. They just know how to forgive. I think that's huge. I think we need to grab a hold of that. And then on page 28, I'm going to close with this sentence. And it says, knowing that God loves you and saying, Father, forgive me for not believing that you do. Show me that you love me. Open my heart to receive your love. We need to know this because it's His love in us that will drive out all fear and torment today, including rejection, sadness, and sorrows. So knowing that God loves us and saying, Father, forgive me for not believing that you love me. Show me that you love me. Open my heart to receive your love. Is setting you up to feel loved, to feel accepted, and to never experience rejection. Now, I think that's a good payoff. That's a good payoff. Just confessing your heart. Just saying, yeah, I'm the mess. Or what I believe I'm understanding now isn't always true. You know, so if we can come to grips with that with ourselves, we will no longer be mad at ourselves because we're going to know we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We've got frailties. I have to admit today, Lord, I thought I knew this, but I didn't. And I'm still doing that today. If we can get a handle on that and just accept that, forgive ourselves, laugh at ourselves, go, oh, here I go again, and just laugh at ourselves, we will never feel shame or self-rejection. We're going to talk a little bit later in the next couple weeks about how to handle the old self-rejection of coming from, you know, childhood or other members of the family, but I want to help you from this day forward not ever take on any more rejection. People are going to abandon you. That's the fact. Things are going to happen. That's the fact. But are you going to trust God in that? Or are you going to allow that feeling to overboard you and mess with you? That's your choice. The Bible says you have set before you, God has set before you life and death. It's up to you to choose life. And He gives you all the reasons how to do that. And that's what we're talking about today. How do you grab a hold of that kind of relationship with a father so that no matter what goes on in this world, just like with Paul, no matter what went on, he knew he was going to have to make it to Rome. No matter what, hell, come hell or high water, he was going to Rome. Okay, you got to have that mindset that no matter what's happening in your life today, it's going to pass. And you're going to get to that place God is destined for you to get to. But are we going to get there kicking and screaming, or are we going to get there in faith, peace, and joy? It's our choice. We're going to get there, but are we going to be exhausted when we get there, or are we going to be full of joy? Look at everything as an obstacle course. Look at everything as a stepping stone. Like I said, like those make those little circles. What I meant to say is when you draw those little circles and it says rejection, bitterness, abandonment, stick them on the floor and stand on them. They're stepping stones, people. Make them stepping stones. Matter of fact, if you have a garden, make these big stepping stones and put these words across it. You can put good words like, you know, faith, step on that. Or, you know, fear, step on that, because you're stepping on it. You're putting it under your feet. And it becomes a catapult to your future. Instead of it being on top of you, you be on top of it. All right. Well, I think that's what we wanted to talk about tonight, is getting rid of and actually acknowledging if we have some self-rejection. Well, let me pray for you then. Father, we thank you for this truth that makes us free, recognizing that we are not always believing the truth, recognizing that we aren't perfect, recognizing that we're going to disappoint people, we're going to disappoint ourselves. If we just know that that's just what's going to happen, we don't have to be all afraid about it. We don't have to feel full of expectations and being, you know, not being perfect. Help us to release ourselves from that. Let us not fall into self-rejection because we're not hitting the mark. Father, release that from our hearts. Let us laugh at ourselves. Let us know that you're going to complete where we lack because we believe that. Help us to believe. Increase the faith of people believing today that they're going to make it to their final destination. And are they going to get there kicking and screaming, or are they going to get there in dancing and singing? So, Father, I ask you to minister life to their hearts, Father. Allow them to receive your perfect love that casts out all fear and torment. Help them to not carry burden, but cast their care, their concern, their worry, their fear, everything. Because all that produces self-rejection. Because we don't think we're good enough, Father. Help us to look at your face with boldness when we come to your throne, not with our heads bowed down with, you know, shame, but with boldness. Let us run to you, Lord, with our eyes open wide and allowing you to embrace us, Father, because you know it anyway and you love us all the same. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.